podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So much breaking news today, locally, nationally. We'll get into all of it. Great guest coming up just moments away, talking about she represents veterans for Trump. He's in North Carolina, Trump is, tomorrow, holding a veterans town hall in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So that's tomorrow night. But the hashtag there, Veterans for Trump. So we'll talk to our gunnery sergeant, Jessie Jane Duff. She's just ahead. And so when we get her, we'll bring her in and have a great conversation about our veterans and talk about, you know, zooming out, zooming in internationally, where we stand, and then looking at our veterans and who she thinks, you know, serves our veteran community better. Let's get right to it. Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Duff, so good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Motivator. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. So, you know, following you on X and thinking about, first of all, I know you have a great event with President Trump holding that veteran town hall in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the hashtag to follow here, Veterans for Trump. Can you take me through what is, I know you're the, your title is Campaign Executive Director, Veterans for Trump. Mm-hmm. What is your job? What are you doing? And what does your job entail?
Well, as Executive Director of Veterans for Trump, it's the most primary thing is voter activation. Veterans tend to vote at a higher rate than their civilian counterparts at 70% compared to 60%. But we all have work to do, whether it be Christian coalitions, Latino coalitions, women, men. The bottom line, we have to have everybody get out and vote because we have to ensure that what happened in 2020 does not happen again. We had a lot of people that did not show up. And it's not for a lack of drive or enjoyment or thrill with President Trump. Many people took it for granted that we had such a stable economy, everything was fine, that he was a shoo-in. Nobody dreamed, at least on the Trump side, that we would lose to Joe Biden, who didn't even campaign and couldn't articulate sentences that made us even understand. But, you know, people get complacent. You know, he won in 2016. Why? Because of the wall and the forgotten man and the forgotten woman. Well, he's going to win again now, not just because of the wall and the forgotten man or woman, but the economy, which is creating more and more forgotten men and women because they can't afford to keep up with what the Harris-Biden administration has put into place. So my job has been to ensure that veterans are activated. We have over 600,000 veterans in every single swing state. In Pennsylvania alone, there's over 740,000, I believe, veterans. That is the largest concentration of veterans in the country, and Pennsylvania is a swing state. Knowing that we have Tim Walz, who lied about his rank, basically stolen valor, saying he retired as a command sergeant major when, in fact, he had been reduced in rank to a master sergeant, and claims of serving in combat. This is an offense to every veteran because we all understand that you just don't do that. You know, it's basically saying that, you know, you might have delivered the potato chips to the grocery store, but that didn't make you the CEO of Frito-Lay. So we have somebody who's lied about their military service, and it's insulting to those, particularly those, my brothers and sisters, that did go into combat. Many did not come home. Many lost legs, arms, limbs, you know, have traumatic brain injury. And some lost their families, lost everything because their wives didn't want to wait for them. Whatever it may be, we understand what that sacrifice means. And for somebody to be one heartbeat away from being president, who's taking that and put it literally on campaign websites for 9 years that he was a command sergeant major and never corrected anybody when they gave him kudos for serving in a combat zone. That's just tacky. If you're going to lie about something like that, what else are you going to lie about? So job in 30 seconds, right?
Well, and I'm sure that the other night on Tuesday night, I'm sure that those moderators, it must have just slipped their mind to, you know, I'm sure that question was on their docket.
How could they not bring it up? Yes.
Oops.
How could they not bring that up? That was the elephant in the room. Yeah. Everybody wanted to hear what kind of nonsense was he going to spew to justify doing that. And he probably had a big sigh of relief that they didn't ask him that. The biggest, you know, the biggest problem for him was, you know, having to justify that he lied about going to Tiananmen Square. I don't know that that is one of the issues that the American voter was concerned about, though. Like you know, granted, conservatives were infuriated by it, but you got to show a pattern of deceit, which he has, a clear pattern of deceit. And even he did lie up there about the abortion bill that he signed. It did allow late-term abortion, and there were babies that died in Minnesota who were survivors of a botched abortion and were left to die. So, you know, he does have a history of a lack of integrity. But the biggest lie that was perpetuated for 9 years, put on campaign websites, was that he even handed out challenge coins, which is known in the military community as an honor to get from a senior person, had them printed up as command sergeant major. This was flagrant. This wasn't a slip. This wasn't, oops, I said the wrong word. I meant to say Iran when I said Iraq, or I meant to say, you know, up when I meant down. I mean, look, I get tongue-tied all the time on television. Yesterday I was trying to blast Tim Walz and talking about the debates, and I put Donald Trump's name in there, and I didn't even realize I did.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I was blasting Donald Trump for the problems in Iran, and I was like, what the hell did I just do? But I didn't even know that I did it till I went back and watched the tape. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But what happens? You're flipping names back and forth. Yeah. That happens. But to lie for 9 years, come on.
Yes.
That's just that's disgraceful. It's strategic. It's planned. It was deliberate. That's just inexcusable. So among other things, and then yes. Kamala Harris' inability to acknowledge the 13 Gold Star families, to try to make issue with Donald Trump for going to Arlington National Cemetery, trying to get upset with him because he had photographs taken that the families requested. Is this really the hill you want to die on, lady? Because I'm telling you, you both were given an invitation to attend that ceremony that they had, the dignified ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown. The White House was given an invitation and ignored it. They got the invitation July 28th, and then they got it again at beginning of August. Now, they may not have been invited to the graves like Donald Trump was, but they were invited to that Tomb of Unknown, and they didn't want to show up because their left-wing media would have shown up and had to cover it. They would have had to talk about why she hasn't said the 13 Gold Star families' names, why they've never picked up the phone and called them. What about the three that died in Jordan? Everybody's already forgotten them.
Yeah.
National Guardsmen that were shot by the killed by the Houthi rebels' drone attack. What about all of those, the two Navy SEALs that were trying to stop the Houthi shipment? What about all of our naval warships that have been attacked? And yet they sat there in this debate, and Tim Walz had the audacity to say is because we withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal that Iran is now more active. No, what about the billions of dollars that you all have funneled over there? So, you know, I got to keep national security on the tip of everybody's brain, that your sons and daughters, that many people often think the draft won't happen, they've had legislation to start the draft because we can't meet our recruiting goals. Well, geez, surprise, surprise. Who wants to serve under Kamala Harris, let alone Joe Biden?
And the latest headline within the past 24 hours was that President Biden directed our U.S. military to help Israel shoot down those Iranian missiles, that U.S. Navy warships in the region fired those interceptors. And so when you think about that and you look at presidents, you know, over the years, or whether we compare Biden-Harris with the Trump policies from the past and the promises in the future, what do you see as somebody who's a military veteran? And then moving forward, is right now as we speak, we obviously have our U.S. Navy warships there. We have our people over there as the world's police as this crisis escalates.
Well, one thing that he's going to have to do is put a lot of the policies that he put in place that Joe Biden reversed. One of the biggest improvements that we had to the VA, the Veterans Administration, was the Mission Act passed by Donald Trump. And it allowed veterans to go outside of the VA for their mental health care. Well, guess what has stopped? They have pulled all those veterans and told them to get back into the VA, which is so unfair to all of them who had therapists outside of the VA system, getting the bills covered, because it's all about money. And people like Tim Walz, when he was actually in Congress, voted against this Mission Act. Why? Because it took the resources out of the VA and put them into private care. And again, the big government people don't want anybody else to get a dollar or a dime. My goodness, we got to make sure it stays in the government, which is not beneficial to those veterans, particularly those that live more than 50 50 miles away from a VA facility and need mental health care. You know, we want to eradicate suicide among veterans. Then why isn't that the first thing that was getting funded anyway? And it's been reversed. That is just one of several. He had also, Joe Biden, brought back many of the thousands of employees. I believe it was well over 6,000. I mean, it might even be higher, that Donald Trump fired because of their inability to provide quality care. He figured out a way to get rid of them. You know, it's not easy to get rid of a federal employee, but he found a way. Well, guess who brought them back? Joe Biden. The complaint was they weren't put on a performance review plan. Well, let you know, a PIP. Well, let's just look at this thing. How is it you would get to get a performance review when we found out you were frauding the system so that veterans were waiting more than 30 days for an appointment, but you were frauding the system so you could get your bonuses and letting them believe that it let the system think they were only waiting 30 days. I don't know if you remember, but way back during the Obama era, there were, I believe, six veterans that died in the Phoenix VA when John McCain was still alive, and they found out that they had been put on what's called wait list for an appointment, 120 days, 180 days. By the time they got into the VA to get their care, guess what? They were so far along with cancer, they died. And the system was showing that they'd only waited 30 days, which was untrue. And they were gaming the system so they could get their bonuses annually. So for me, personally, you know, Donald Trump was the best for the military, and he was the best for the veterans because he took it very, very seriously. People think that he's not, you know, not compassionate, he's self-centered. No, he's got a hard hammer going after the people that stop, that smile in your face, but stop the care given to veterans. People like, you know, Folksy, Tim Walz, who voted against veteran care. So, you know, we have to have a commander-in-chief that's tough so that we don't have these escalations with Iran. Iran was not getting billions of dollars out of Americans. We didn't have a new endless war. We got out of one, and they started another. We haven't heard about diplomacy with Ukraine and Russia, and Donald Trump called it right out with Zelensky right at his side. He said, there's going to be he didn't use the word negotiation, but sacrifice. There was another word he used, transactional. He said it's going to be transactional, which means one person gets something and somebody else gets something, and you can have, but somebody's not going to get everything. And that's how it's going to go down. And he was very clear with Zelensky. Enough is enough. How many thousands of young Ukrainian men, Russian men, have died for a cause they're not even sure what they're fighting for? And American taxpayers keep handing over more and more money. Well, meanwhile, we've got people without homes that wash down rivers and streams and into oceans with this massive hurricane that's killed, the death toll's astronomical. And we have Governor Kemp coming out saying, why aren't you sending the resources into the rural communities? We're finding out that Kamala Harris can't even go do her hurricane briefings. My goodness. So what is it we're doing? We're going to make sure a war is fought somewhere else, but we can't defend our veterans here. We can't take care of our homeless here. So, yeah, that's my job, you know, well, you know, 30 seconds or less.
Just to give you, some reaction, you know, we have our different, we're on YouTube, so we have so many people here saying, Manglemush saying, hell yeah, preach it, saying that you're on fire, and they love it, and say, I love this woman. So you're getting a lot of love here in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you. Well, you guys are the ones that are going to bring it home. First of all, I'm going to yell this from the rooftops. You guys have the largest concentration of veterans in the entire country in Pennsylvania. I believe the number is 740,000. One. Two, if every last one of them gets out there and votes, guess what? This is a sweep. Donald Trump has it. Let's bring it home. Let's do this because we voted 70%. Let's take it up to 95%. Let's take it up to 98%. Every last one of you veterans or veteran families out there know somebody who isn't voting. You get them to register and you make sure you drag them by the hair to that. Well, don't drag them by the hair. They may not like you. But get them to that polling station. Get them to vote because you know what? Your vote does matter. You're voting to keep your constitutional rights. You're voting to make sure you have freedom of speech. You are gun owners. Oh my gosh, they're one of the lowest voting groups because I guess they're afraid of the government for some reason. Well, they're going to take your religious freedom and they're going to take your guns. You're not going to be allowed to say certain things because there's censor-free speech. You've got to take this stuff seriously. Ronald Reagan said we were one generation away from losing our freedom. And he said that, 40, 50 years ago? Here we are. The generation clock is up. it is now. This is it. This is the election. And we've always said it's the most important election, but nobody listened. Mm-hmm. That's why it kept getting worse. Drip, 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 worse. Now we've got a flood. We're all up to our eyeballs in water. It's time to get over this water and flush this drain, get the swamp cleared out, get some of these people out of office, and Donald Trump's going to go in with a hammer because you know what? He already knows where the bodies are buried. He already knows who not to trust and who to trust. We don't have to get somebody in there who's going to be this passive-aggressive, I'll do everything for you on day one, when in fact you've had well over 1,000 days to get something done and you haven't gotten anything done.
Man, I love you. I'm you're going to be my ringtone. I'm serious.
Let me ask a question real quick. Jesse, do you have to go? Because I want to take a call real quick, if you wouldn't mind. But if you're tough for time, we'll get you going.
No, I don't have to go. I just have to be. I'm going to have to get on a call in another minute.
Let me just ask you something real quick here, because I'm seeing a breaking story that U.S. forces in northeastern Syria have came under attack again, fifth assault in 8 days, and that from the Syrian Weekly is reporting this, and all the reaction from many in the military community saying, you know, our military members once again being put in harm's way.
Absolutely.
Your reaction?
Well, you know, this is Kamala Harris, who said that we don't have anybody for the first time in this century in a combat zone. We know that that is unequivocally false. There's over 15,000 men and women that are deployed in combat zones, getting combat pay. And Syria is one of those locations. We know about the three National Guardsmen that were killed in Jordan. We know that we have forces in Iraq. We know that we have naval warships that are right there in the Red Sea that are vulnerable to Houthi attack. The Iranians have been attacking our ships. So here we are, Kamala, first time in century. That tells me you're not attending your national security briefings and you're just reading the comic pages, because that's all that you're demonstrating, is that you're nothing but a clown.
Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff, please come back again. I know you have another interview coming up, but thank you so much for updating us. We really appreciate you.
Well, actually, it looks like they said, let's see, I'm available now. Nope, 11:15. I got to get on the call. It's actually not an interview. It's my boss.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Jesse.
Again, I'll be back, and I'll get everybody in. Yeah, I do have a boss, and if not Donald J. Trump, I have another one. You know? So we all got a layer before we get to the very top. My layer's really, really thick. Trust me, I don't get to walk on DJT's door. Nope, not Jesse.
Get on that call, Jesse. Like, go.
Gunnery Sergeant.
Thank you. Motivators, take the hill and sign up at TrumpForce47.com. TrumpForce47.com. That's where you can volunteer. You can be a poll watcher. You can get, they will give you the locations of people in your own neighborhood. You can knock on doors and get those low propensity voters out there, because they have a 90% chance of showing up if somebody talks to them. Let's do this, Pennsylvania. Win it. If you guys win it, it's going to be like we're going to be in Vegas and we hit the lottery. Let's do this.
Gunnery Sergeant, motivator on the hill. We are motivated. Right. Thank you.
Take it. Thank you.
Until next time, Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. Please follow her. She's at Jesse Jane Duff if you don't follow her yet. And she's also 2024 campaign executive director. Whew!
Yeah.
I feel like I want to work out right now.
I want to bring in, this Hoorah. Is what I wanted to bring in with Jesse Jane. Sadly, Mike, we had to get her going. But Mike, what did you say to me during when I took your call there? Mike in Flemington.
Yeah, I just want to make 2 points. One is, Dawn, thank you for introducing me to her. I'm a veteran with a combat tour, whose son's in the military, and I didn't want him going in, but the media covers up a lot of what Trump has done for the veterans, and I appreciate you bringing on the gunnery sergeant, because it motivated me, especially today, because 31 years ago with the Gothic Serpent or Black Hawk Down incident, and there were 19 Americans. I just want to honor some of my friends who were lost that day, too. You know, we lost 19 that day, but the ones I have on my back are Earl Fillmore, Dan Bush, Tim Grizz Martin, Medal of Honor winner Randy Shugart, Medal of Honor winner Gary Gordon, and then Matt Ryerson, and then from New Jersey, Jamie Smith, who was from Morristown, whose father was a Vietnam veteran. So just, you know, thank you for bringing her on. And this weekend, today and tomorrow, is the anniversary. Just remember them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. And for reminding us, you know, as we think about, and there are sites dedicated, obviously, Black Hawk Down. So we think of you, and that's just it, you know, why our gunnery sergeant, why she does give you that infusion of energy and love and passion. And I know these are tough times in so many ways. And so I think about you, and I appreciate you and appreciate your service. And just know that maybe we don't say it enough, right? We don't say the names enough. But as far as Black Hawk Down, yeah, October 3rd. And this one, this tribute is to Black Hawk Down, Michael Durant. It's October 3rd, 2019. There are so many different pages online that I was just looking up to pay tribute to the service. So we love you. We thank you. We just give you a big hug across the airwaves for sure.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Jack Carr posted, and I just reposted it as well. It was mid-afternoon, October 3rd, 1993. And Eversman's Chalk 4, part of a force of U.S. Army Rangers Delta Force operators, about to drop uninvited on a gathering of Habrigider clan leaders in the heart of Mogadishu. This is Somalia, Black Hawk Down. And so he talks about Task Force Ranger, Operation Gothic Serpent, Battle of the Black Sea. And so he says he's honored to know some of the men who fought October 3rd and 4th, 1993, in the streets of Mogadishu. It is my sincere hope that more of them will one day tell their stories. The next generation needs heroes. And then he points out that October 1st, 2021, 18 Army Rangers receiving Silver Stars for their actions in that battle. And goes on, so to put these things in perspective as to what happened. So
I'm just curious, with Philadelphia ties here to Black Hawk Down,
yeah.
I think a lot of people know Mark Bowden from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yes.
Started with articles, 29 articles that were turned into the book later, Black Hawk Down, then turned into the film.
And that's what I'm quoting from.
Oh, is it?
That's on Jack Carr's post, Black Hawk Down by Mark Bowden.
So did you ever have any association with him?
With Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, got
over it. The years?
Yeah. My dad was his editor at one point over at the Inquirer, and said he was a great guy and all that, but just an absolutely fascinating story that, you know, was really done when investigative journalism was at its hottest, and here, right here in Philadelphia, by a Philadelphian.
And so he's part of what Jack Carr, as he's talking about this, but on this day, 1993, so October 3rd and October 4th for tomorrow. It's amazing. And no surprise, Jack Carr knows some of these guys, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can, as we talk about this and you think about veterans, and the reason that we don't talk about it enough is that we have a crisis in our country with veterans, right? And I know Zeoli has brought it up to Jack Carr. We've all talked about it. There's a mental health crisis, specifically with two groups, our kids, especially preteens and teens, and then our veterans. And so, you know, we need to praise you and fire you up and make you know that your vote matters, and that former President Donald J. Trump appreciates you, loves you, and his policies in many veterans' eyes support you better. And that is a Pew Research poll that says 6 in 10. And this is just dated September 30th, 2024, the latest from Pew Research, saying that military veterans have long tended to affiliate in general with Republicans and the Republican Party, supporting Republican candidates. And just a reminder of Senate candidate, this is Dave McCormick, whose debate is tonight against longtime career politician Bob Casey Jr. So 6 in 10 registered voters, according to this latest Pew Research, 6 in 10 registered voters say they have, you know, who served in the military, are military veterans or reserves, 61% supporting, say they support and will vote for President Donald J. Trump in the upcoming election, November 5th. And 37% are backing Vice President Kamala Harris. This is a new Pew Research Center survey that is just out. And so you look at that, it's growing. Those numbers are up for Trump in general. Do we have to take a quick break?
Yep,
quick break. We appreciate you. 855-839-1210 if you want to sound off. I thought my husband Larry, my better half Larry Menti, we'll talk about better halves and
really
worse halves.
Stood up right now, Dawn? This
What's
isn't
that?
Cool. I said, are you really being stood up by your husband? This isn't cool.
Larry Bear, are you standing me up?
Yeah, right? It's like going to a restaurant. You sit there and order some drinks. You're like, well, you know, are they going to show?
And you know what we're going to talk about around the corner, too?
What's that?
Guess who is the, maybe this is the worst half, but this is, you know, the moderator the other night from CBS News who interrupted J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
Well, a little news release about who she's, her hubby, and his past and current affiliations.
We talking Marge here?
Yes.
Oh, Margaret Brennan.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So we'll talk about that. Same with Dana Bash. Remember Dana?
Yeah.
Her hubby, too. Remember that? It was her ex, at least. We'll talk about all of that and the breaking news of the day. And remember, we've got our hero chopper pilot is going to call in any moment over the skies of North Carolina and making some rescues. Be right back.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
I know 6ABC and I think NBC 10 picked it up. Philadelphia Magazine did it. That a local couple, Chester County couple, they had voted for Trump in the past and they were Republicans, but now they are anti-Trumpers, if you will. And they're in that ad that is pro Kamala Harris. They're saying now they're going to vote for Harris, the vice president, rather than Trump, even though they're saying that in the past they claim that they were Republicans. So I know Dan had a little audio on it, but they're saying that, and this is not right, they're saying that they've been threatened because they're a local couple, Chester County, Pennsylvania, and that they've actually received threats.
Yep. Yeah, there's a whole piece on Philly Mag about them, delving into the victim, how they become victims, with a lot of internet hate being levied their way after these allegations. And the allegations really went hot viral when Dinesh D'Souza tweeted out a clip that was from Sky News. If you want to hear it, take a listen.
Now, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have been accused of deliberate misinformation. They've released a political ad that claims to depict two former Trump voters who live in Pennsylvania and who have switched to Team Kamala after the horrors of January 6th. But this pair of farmers shown in the ad appear to, in fact, be two actors, Robert Lang and Christina Chadwick, and they have an extensive history of donating to the Democrats and leftist causes dating back to at least 2016. For a party that talks endlessly about the dangers of disinformation and misinformation, they engage in plenty of it.
So that's the clip. I don't know. Are they farmers and actors? I mean, I don't know. But the claim here, and I've heard this, obviously, and that was not my sourcing on it, that they allegedly are paid actors. I will just say this. Philadelphia Magazine says that they reviewed some of these nasty comments and, I guess, voicemails or what have you. That's not right. That's not who we are. Leave them alone. I mean, to threaten people, you know, it's one thing to go on X, on social media, and say, well, I looked them up and here's the information and this is a lie or whatever you want to say. But to, you know, go after people and actually threaten physical harm, well, that could result, and I hope it does result in a, if it's true, if all this is true and they really were threatened, then I certainly hope that law enforcement was called. And where is that police report? Because there should be a police report on this. And they absolutely, if somebody is threatening you because you are who you are or who you're going to vote for or whatever, then you should file a police report and say, here's the death threat or here's the physical threat, etc. And that the police should investigate that. And there are ways to track that. So is there a police? My question is, number one, Are these individuals actually paid actors, or are they farmers, or are they both? Number one. Number two, my next question is, did they report this to police? So do you see that in the Philly Mag article?
So Philly Mag did get in, like they asked them directly about their political history.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mention whether or not they're actors, but there's a lot of fact-checking out there that are pointing towards them not being actors. But they say in the Philly Mag article, quote, Bob voted for Trump in 2016 and 2020. Christina went Trump in 2016 but abstained in 2020. Christina tells Philadelphia Magazine that she felt that, quote, Trump failed America when it came to the COVID crisis and that she just couldn't vote for him again. But she says she also couldn't push the button for Biden in 2020. For Bob, Trump was a reluctant choice in 2020. But after January 6th, I said never again, Bob says.
And so they do, Philadelphia Magazine reports that they have confirmed police, it was reported by this couple, and police are investigating. Well, you know what? If you threatened anybody, whether you're a Democrat and you're threatening a Republican, or you're a Republican threatening a don't threaten people. What is that? That's not right. That's horrible. But the allegation here, and I have no idea what's whether or not they're actors. They look like they're a happy couple. They have a beautiful land, whatever.
I'm a conspiracy theorist to a degree, and I call this one out as kind of BS. There's a guy that's posting about it, Twitter and all, and essentially what he's alleging is that Hayride to Hell was a documentary that these two put together. They premiered it at Center Film Festival, State College, Pennsylvania. They have credits because of the film. The film features interracial gay fathers who find themselves raising a child after one dad becomes a widower, and another about the struggle of illegal immigrants. I can't even find much on the film itself, so I can't even verify that, Dawn. But the allegations are that because they made this film and because the wife serves on the board of a local theater, that they're professional actors. I don't know if that's really
okay.
A tie that is.
Well,
does that make them professional actors? I don't think so.
I don't know. And the bottom line is,
I mean, I appeared in a B film once. Does that make me a
what?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh.
I had an offer to. It was one down the shore with a wrestler named Gene Snitsky was as well. Yeah.
La di da. Well, look. I mean, I don't know who threatened them, but if they did, then I hope police find that person and deal with it and charge this person, and we'll report it to you. But on the other hand, if somebody claims that they were threatened in a just like the Jussie Smollett thing, I actually think Philadelphia Magazine, it's Victor, by the way, it's Victor Fiorello. I think Victor talked to the cops. They think this is real. The threats are real. So Victor, he's a veteran. So I don't think that there's anything funny with this. And I think, by the way, if they were paid actors, I think Victor would have reported it. I do. He's a good guy.
Huh? I have different thoughts on
you do? No, I've known Victor.
Well, you know what? He's a fantastically respected and honest journalist.
Yeah.
He's going to report the truth.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. There's just a lot in his column that is questionable.
Okay.
From time to time. But.
Well, we will continue to follow it. Don't make threats. Put that energy. Think of our sergeant. We gotta get some clips from our great sergeant. I love her. We gotta have her on. She's like my motivation. Motivators on the hill. I mean, I just love that.
Hello, motivators.
Hello, motivators on the hill. Get motivated. I mean, she was so high energy and awesome. So we are highly motivated right here on the Dawn Stensland Show. I don't know where my husband is. He is not a motivator on the hill, and he is in big trouble. He is Larry.
Yeah, what is he doing?
He's Larry who's going to get knocked down the hill.
This is bad. Larry, where are you?
You know what he probably did? He probably ran an errand, or he's out, and he didn't. He missed my
response text. Have you
texted
with him? Because I'm concerned. Is he okay?
Oh, his phone probably died.
Yeah, okay. Does that happen often? Is he the kind of guy that like just leaves the phone behind? And
oh, yeah, he probably lost the phone.
I'm throwing stones in a glass house here. Be listening to me with my wife.
Here's the thing. So mentees lose stuff. Can I just tell you something? I could go on and on. He is somebody who he could recite, you know, pick it, whether it's like the Gettysburg Address, he can recite it. Like, he's a brilliant guy, right? And has like 100 Emmys and Edward R. Murrow's and all this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but ask him, where is your wallet and where are your keys? No clue.
No clue.
Where are my shoes?
I don't think that's just a Larry thing. I think that's an entire sex thing or gender. What
is it?
Gender or sex?
All right. Well, so
yeah, because I'm terrible. Like, I'll lose my keys often and the wallet, and Maisie makes a lot of fun of me for it.
The other day, I got a call, like it's like, I don't know, White Marsh Police or something. I go, I get a call on my cell. I don't know how they got my cell. They call and they're like, oh, hey, Dawn, is this? Yeah, we have Larry's wallet. I'm like, what? He didn't even know he lost it. Okay.
This happens so often that they have your personal cell number on speed dial.
I mean, it's just, and his brother's the same way. Bobby's the same way. He lives in Lansdale in Montgomery County, and they lose stuff. And like my sister-in-law Peggy, and she says, yeah, Bob lost his wallet at the airport, and somebody finds it at the airport and lives close to us, dropped off the wallet in our mailbox before Bob got home from the airport. I mean, that's, so they always find their stuff. Like, if I lose something, which I rarely do, it's stolen or it's gone. But with them, there's always some weird way that it makes it back home. It's the craziest thing. I don't know if you lose stuff or if you're married to somebody who loses stuff.
At least it makes its way back home, you know? It's nice.
Always makes his way back home.
So, Suze loves Jeffy. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Please go like and subscribe. Like and subscribe does us a huge, huge favor. Like. She writes, Dawn was in The Fugitive. Am I remembering that right? Were you in the film The Fugitive with Harrison Ford?
Yes.
Because what?
They filmed it in Chicago. You have such an eagle eye. It's just a glimpse. But it was back in the day, and I worked for CBS. At that point, CBS in Chicago. This was before I worked for CBS here in Philadelphia, CBS 3. So they needed extras and they wanted real reporters. And so at the time, they wanted me in the reporter pool during the, I forget, Tommy Lee and Joe Pantoliano, Joe, and I'm trying to remember who else was there. Harrison Ford, right? Harrison Ford.
Are you credited in the film or is it just a, background?
I don't have a speaking role.
Okay.
And so they wanted a bunch of us. I think John Drummond, who was a legendary investigative reporter. I was like a young cub reporter, but they wanted a bunch of people. So I think some of the veteran reporters, they got speaking roles to ask a question. Oh. But I'm in the, I'm in the crowd of the reporters shouting questions.
Julianne Moore in the film. Yeah. Jane Lynch in the film. Wow.
I didn't meet them. I think some of the guys, though, I saw. They feed you. You have to hang out for the day or half a day, and they have a ton of food and a great spread. It was fun. It was a great experience. But
were you in any other films that you want to share? Because I didn't know this at all, and I'm fascinated by it.
I was an extra. I was on the. Should we talk about? We can talk about it around the corner. I'll tell you.
Cool.
This is a fun story. Melania Trump. A lot of reaction. What does Melania Trump have to say about abortion? That in just a sec. I'll just wrap up. I was on, do you remember Drew Carey?
Yeah.
The Drew Carey show?
Yeah.
Klaus Beer. So this was when, I worked as a main anchor, 6 and 11 p.m. news anchor at the NBC station in Cleveland, Ohio, along my career path in my different life, because I've lived many different lives. So the Drew Carey show, because he's originally from Cleveland. So he reached out to me and asked me, would I be on his show, which was in Los Angeles? And so I did, because he thought he just got a kick out of it, that because he was at a competing network and he loved the fact that an anchor from Cleveland, we were, number one station.
So did you have a speaking role there?
I think I did. It was
we got to find that.
It was. I still have a bottle of Buzz beer. As like a trinket.
So is it on like the Drew Carey show itself? Like the sitcom?
I think it was a walk-on, but I think I said so. I can't remember.
All right, we got a huge audience out there, a lot of YouTubers that care a lot.
I'll have to find it.
Yeah, do us a favor. If there's Drew Carey show streaming.
I know, I got to. No, I got to track it down.
The show, and if you happen to see Dawn at some point, just tell us when that is. That'd be fantastic.
But he was so funny, great guy, and it was neat. It was like a tribute to a little homage to his hometown. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right?
Yeah, it's like when they did 6ABC and Jim Gardner on the school show that's on 6ABC.
Yes. Yeah. So it was fun. Well, the difference, though, is his show was on ABC, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't on NBC. I was at the NBC station.
Oh, so he was doing
he was a little oppo, so it was a little shiv to the other network.
Was there any local drama when that happened?
And then a little bit, but nobody cared. Oh, okay. It was just all in fun. Who cares? Great guy. Very funny. So in this one, this is former First Lady Melania Trump. And she is posting these videos, obviously promoting her memoir, her book, and talks about the abortion issue. Do you have this, Dan?
Individual freedom is a fundamental principle that I safeguard. Without a doubt, there is no room for compromise when it comes to this essential right. that all women possess from birth: individual freedom. What does my body, my choice really mean?
Ooh, yeah, I find that it's more of a tease. To me, that's more of a tease. What does it mean? So that's my, is she stating her view? People are, unless there's more, but people are inferring that she's saying that she is pro-choice. Do you infer that from that clip? 855-839-12. We don't even have time to take a call right now. We're too close, I think, to the Dom show, aren't we?
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Hey, so today they were talking about Melania on The View, and Sunny Hostin expressed how she thinks Melania Trump feels about her husband.
I think she hates him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay, so we can all agree on that. That's a given. I also think that she wants to take him out. She does not want to be the first lady anymore.
They agree with you.
She doesn't want to be the first lady. She destroyed the Rose Garden. Who hates Christmas? Melania Trump hates Christmas.
What?
She doesn't want to decorate for Christmas.
She doesn't care about that.
Can't tell if that's from today or if that's an older clip. But either way,
Sonny, what's going on with Sonny? I think that things are a little shady at home. Sonny is projecting her own, maybe her own home situation. I don't know. Remember we saw her home? She was featured somewhere and has this gorgeous mansion. And has a husband and kids, looks like a beautiful family, but maybe, I don't know, she's projecting her own husband hatred. I don't know.
It was today. Wow.
It
sounded like it was something in the past, but yeah, it just happened, yeah.
Or is it, look, here's the thing. I don't know from that clip. What I infer is that it's a tease, right? But I think what Melania is saying, whatever her opinion is, it's a free country. And how many husbands and wives have a difference of opinion? And so Melania, to me, this shows she's a strong-minded woman. Whatever her opinion is, it's her own. Good for you. You be you. I don't really have a problem with that. As far as Sonny, what woman hasn't hated her husband at any given moment?
She doesn't want to sleep in the same room with him.
What?
She can't tolerate him.
Allegedly.
And she does.
Yeah, Thank you, Whoopi.
Allegedly. That's why I say.
Thank you, Whoopi.
She told me is what she says.
Right. This is Whoopi Goldberg. Give Whoopi some credit, would you? Whose name is appropriately Whoopi. Like, she would know about people who has Whoopi and not. But Whoopi Goldberg is, at least says the alleged. Sonny has no clue, and so I'm just saying she was mad at her own husband that day. Melania Trump has...
projecting.
Yeah, she's projecting. She has her own opinions. Right?
That's terrible. He's returning to Butler this weekend, like, and you're talking about, quote, taking him out. Talk about the rhetoric, Dawn. Jeez.
Well, no, and they'll never talk about... They'll never say anything nice. Could you just say something nice? There have been two attempts on this man's life already. And by the way, the federal prosecutors in the case of the prosecution of the accused attempted assassin, Ryan Ruth, yesterday, and I know I reported this a couple times earlier this morning on Kale & Company, but Ryan Ruth, those federal prosecutors, we need to delay indefinitely. We need more time. And so I'll just ask you, look at that and think about that for a moment. In one case, you have the guy, you have the firearm, right? You have the witness who videoed him in the getaway vehicle. Remember, Trump talked about that. We played that audio. And so you have a lot of evidence stacked up against the guy. Now, granted, they have the guy in custody and on these charges, but they want to delay. They don't want any more court appearances. They want an indefinite delay. You know what that means? That means that you get your information, I'll say this as a longtime news reporter, where you get your information is you sit in court. You send a reporter, you sit in court, and you get all this information because you have to, by our laws in the United States, right? We're all paying as taxpayers for his defense, which is, everybody gets a defense. And so the one place that you get all the facts and all the details is in the court. So by those federal prosecutors trying to shut it down, essentially, and delay the prosecution and saying they need more time to investigate, what they're really doing is, past, Your Honor, can we just have until, November 10th That's what's going on here. It's not in the news. So that's my news perspective. Dom Giordano is here. And, Dom, we're awaiting this phone call from this hero pilot. Hopefully,
I haven't heard from him in a while. I'm kind of concerned.
Well, I hope he's okay, yeah. But he promised he would call. Dom, I hope he calls into your show now and gives you the update of hopefully a rescue mission completed.
Absolutely, Dawn. Thanks for paving the way with that. We put our best man on it. Henry's in the back right now.
Awesome.
Hey.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, Vic. Dom,
he tricked me. That was a trick.
Wow, Dawn.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thanks a lot.
So, Dawn, to your point there about holding things up, this Inspector General's report being held up, Thomas Massie, we're trying to get him on. They don't want us to know about how many FBI assets were involved in January 6th. We're going to ask John Yu about that a little bit later in the show. He's probably one of the best attorneys that we ever have on. And I have the guy leading the strike talking about Easy Pass just last week. This guy is a menace.
Uh-oh. I can't wait to hear about it. Dom's show is right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all, case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.